Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of Thee. Amen. Please be seated. Lev. Lev is the Hebrew word for heart. Heart, mind, will. What the heart was for the ancient Hebrews was not the same as our 21st century American saccharinized Valentine Day-ized, romanticized understanding. No, for us, the heart evokes thoughts of love, filial or familial love, love of country, love of home, great passion of many different kinds. But on the other hand, you have the contrast of the rational, scientific, modern viewpoint of someone like Dr. Michael DeBakey, the pioneer heart surgeon, who has been quoted as having said, "The heart is a pump. A magnificent pump, but a pump." Whether you take a romantic or a practical stance, we still view the heart much differently than did ancient people, people like those in our gospel reading today. For the ancient Hebrews, as one writer described it, the heart was the crucible of a person's true essence, whether that essence was noble or wicked or in transformation. As such, it was the inner life, the inner personality of a person, and could be a source of wisdom or a source of evil. The heart could be even the collective mindset of the Hebrew people as a whole, as well as just the nature of a particular individual. Now, if we think the heart wasn't important to the Hebrews, then we need to read our Bible a lot more. Depending upon your translation, there are more or less 1,000 references to the heart in the Bible, with the first reference being in Genesis 6, when God saw the evil in the hearts of humans, and it grieved God's heart. Most of us remember how Pharaoh's heart was hardened against his slaves and the Hebrews, no matter the signs of wonder and warnings from Moses. One of my favorite references to the heart shows up twice in Deuteronomy. First, that the Hebrews are to circumcise the foreskin of their hearts, and then later, God will circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their descendants. God wanted his children to be marked, not just physically, but that their souls, their spirits, would be set apart, dedicated to God and following God's ways. But let's take a huge leap from Deuteronomy all the way to Matthew and today's gospel. In it, we have stepped into a broiling controversy which began a few verses before our passage. It's those dang pests again, those scribes and Pharisees, who seem to take delight in harassing Jesus and his followers. Seems they are complaining about the fact that Jesus' disciples aren't following their tradition because the disciples are not ritually washing their hands. It doesn't matter that it is debatable whether hand washing was a widespread act in first century Israel, or whether it was just a purification action taken by the Pharisees alone. Regardless, they are raising a ruckus. And Jesus condemns them, calling them out as hypocrites. Now, all that happens before our gospel reading begins, and it begins with Jesus pulling the crowd around him, seeking to help them understand, because understanding is what is important in the school of Jesus. Jesus doesn't tell the crowd that the purity commandment isn't important, Not at all. Instead, he elevated the internal life above the external rituals people do as tradition or to make themselves feel holy, feel blessed. Jesus told the crowd that what goes into the mouth just defiles the stomach and exits the body, whereas what comes out of the mouth reveals who that person really is. Being a good person was a higher priority to Jesus than doing things the right way or doing things because it is a tradition to do so. You'd think the disciples could understand this, but they come to Jesus later with more concerns, more questions. Jesus again explains how unclean food may go into the mouth and through the stomach and out the sewer, but what comes into the mouth comes from the heart. It's not merely an issue of the stomach, but of the entire person. Purity is not about eating the proper food or about rituals like washing your hands. No, for Jesus, purity is an issue of the heart. And words and deeds express what is in a person's heart, who that person is. Jesus is not necessarily rejecting tradition or spiritual practices, but asserting that they do not take higher importance than being a good person, doing the right things for others, or loving others as we would wish to be loved. Love is always the greater commandment for Jesus, more than the law and the prophets and the rituals of the scribes and the Pharisees. Love and being a moral person, a good person in thought, word, and deed, would be the evidence of an undefiled heart, not washing hands or avoiding certain foods. An online search brings up articles dating as far back as 20 years, indicating the death of civility in our society. One article in the Harvard Business Review a few years back indicated that researchers had been tracking the level of rudeness in the workplace. Out of thousands of workers surveyed, 98% reported experiencing uncivil behavior in the workplace. Half those surveyed indicated they were treated rudely at least once a week at work, up from just a quarter of those surveyed in 1998. While that is just one survey, Google supplied me a ton of similar articles when, last week, I searched the phrase, the loss of civility, following the events that unfolded in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yes, many people were just exercising their First Amendment right of free speech. But it is painfully obvious that others, many others, went over the line of peaceful assembly. Now, I would expect that we have many different opinions represented here today about those arguments and events that happened following them all last week. But I assert that how we act and what we say about those matters to Jesus much more than our American right of free speech. If we are in the school of Jesus, and I would expect that we are if we are sitting in this holy place this morning, then through this gospel, Jesus is calling out to us, reminding us that purity of heart shows forth from our words and our actions. There were a lot of ugly images and words on our screens and news feeds this last week. What might have been missed was a group of clergy and faith leaders who linked arms in Charlottesville singing, "This Little Light of Mine," while others knelt to pray, living out the greatest commandment, the commandment to love. I pray that we never face such dramatic events in this little quiet corner of our country. but we can still shine God's light each day on our social media and with all those we encounter, having hearts that have been circumcised by God as we seek to follow daily in the blessed steps of Jesus' most holy life, as we prayed earlier in our collect. Jesus continues to teach us that a holy life is revealed by the words and actions we choose to take each day, words and actions that reveal who we are and whose we are. We can bring God's light to every encounter by our words and actions, reflecting the God who dwells in our hearts and shines forth from our lives.